Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, Clint, guess what?
What?
One Day at a Time got renewed.
Yeah!
Welcome to TV Party, a podcast of the Consequence Podcast Network. I'm Allison Shoemaker.
I'm Clint Worthington.
And you are about to hear our interview with Isabella Gomez of One Day at a Time. She is a delight. We interviewed her in conjunction with our list of the 25 best teens in TV history. Spoiler, she's on that list. So you can hear more about what she thinks about great teens, about the importance of One Day at a Time, and who she wants to work with. As soon as we start this tape rolling, thank you so much for listening, and here's Isabella.
You took a look at our list. What, in your opinion, makes a great fictional teenager?
I think a great fictional teenager is made out of somebody that's truthful and real.
And they're real people, you know. Teenagers are figuring their life out just as much as anybody else. So they're complex and layered and deep, and they have a lot going on. So I think a good fictional teen has all of those things and has a full life. They're not just one stereotype.
Who is your favorite TV teenager? Besides yourself, obviously, besides Elena.
I feel like I'd have to sit down for weeks and like analyze everything I've seen. I really love all of the siblings on The Fosters. I think they're a great example of what I just said. They all have so much stuff going on and they're not a single thing. Like Callie has all of her past weighing her down and all of this baggage, but you can still tell that she has a heart of gold and she just wants to help people. And all of the foster kids are sort of that way, so I really love them.
Can you think of an example of a fictional teen that feels particularly unrealistic or unsympathetic?
God, I honestly don't watch a ton of TV, and when I do watch TV, I don't watch stuff that I find unrealistic. But when I was looking over these questions, the first person that came to mind was Tracy Van Horn from Hannah Montana. I mean, she was definitely written that way to be comedic relief, and I totally get it. But she was, you know, a little one note. She was just like this rich, preppy girl that, like, we never really got to see have a lot more going on. So I would probably choose her.
Cool. Yeah, that makes sense. Can you think of anyone we left off of our list where you thought, man, other than the Fosters, maybe, where you thought that was a huge oversight and boy, did we screw up?
I didn't think anything was a huge oversight. I did think when I was growing up, I watched a lot of Full House. I don't know why, but I watched all the reruns and I loved DJ. I really, really loved her. I thought she was like super smart and grounded, but she also, you know, struggled and had her things that she wanted to figure out, and even though it was a sitcom, I still felt like she went through a lot of really realistic struggles.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe DJ from Full House.
That's a good pick. She almost made it, so I'm in agreement with you there. It seems pretty obvious as a viewer that you really enjoy playing Elena. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. I love Elena.
What is it about her that you like so much?
I think it's just that she's so layered and not one-toned. A lot of times in this industry, we get auditions, especially as like young girls, we get auditions that are like the hot cheerleader and like the bratty sister, and like those are fun and great, but what struck me about Elena was that she had so much to say, and it wasn't a bunch of BS. It was cultured and intelligent, and you can tell she had researched this stuff, and she is so unapologetically herself, even when she gets made fun of for it. And I thought it was so refreshing to be able to play that.
What has it been like playing her and going on this journey with her over the last two seasons?
Kind of heartbreaking. We're a sitcom, but our show has a lot of heart. And I was really kind of unaware of the struggles of the LGBTQ community. I grew up in a bubble of acceptance, really. So, of course, I knew that they struggled, but I had never seen it firsthand. And then, you know, obviously, I don't know what it's actually like, but getting to tell that story and be the vessel for that story has been so humbling, but also it gives me a little glimpse of what these people have to go through every day of their lives. And it's so heartbreaking, but it's also made me, I think, more empathetic. And even aside from her LGBTQ storyline, I feel like I've become so much more aware. Like, Elena is such a little activist, and to be able to play that, I have to research a lot of things, because a lot of things that she says, I have no idea what they mean. So I think I've become a lot more knowledgeable.
Oh, that's wonderful. Do you have, like, a favorite discovery that you've made because of playing her?
Yes. Actually, it happened in season two, and it made my entire life make sense. We discussed Elena being white passing in season two, and it was, like, a light bulb moment for me. Ariella Barrera, who plays Carmen in season one, she's one of my best friends, and we discussed the industry a lot. She's also Latina. And we would talk about, you know, racism in the industry and all of this. And I was so, she's experienced a lot of things that aren't my story to tell. But I was like, I've never experienced that. Like, no one's ever said this to me. And it wasn't until season two that I realized that because I am white passing, I've had a lot of privilege and I haven't had to face that same racism. And it was so mind blowing.
Wow. Well, a completely different subject. A much lighter subject. We know that Elena is a big Buffy fan. Are you also a Buffy fan?
I've never seen Buffy, but I keep getting this question, so I feel like I'm gonna have to.
I think you'll really like her in terms of teenage girls who are motivated and want to change the world. She's a pretty great one. Okay.
Perfect. I'm gonna get off that.
It's really fun. You will have a really good time. There are some bumps in the road, but their musical episode is amazing, and there are some other great ones. Okay, so as someone who's been playing an openly queer teen, for the most part, a joyfully queer teen on television, do you hear from other teenagers? Do kids reach out to you to talk about Elena and about their experiences?
Oh, every day. And it's one of my favorite things about playing Elena is how much impact she has caused on people's lives. And it's really interesting because I kind of have expected teens to be like, well, that's crazy. I've never seen myself on TV. But what's really mind-blowing is getting adults messaging me and being like, hey, if I had had Elena when I was 15, my life would have been a lot easier. Or, hey, my teenage son or daughter came out to me because of Elena, and thank you for starting that conversation. And I think that's what's most insane and humbling about this experience.
Oh, that's wonderful. Is there anything outside of the sort of topical issues that the show struggles with? Is there anything you've learned about yourself or about being a teenager from working on the show?
I think I've learned that people want to learn, if that makes sense. You know, our cast is a bunch of different generations, so we have a bunch of different generations for fans. And, you know, my generation is very liberal. We don't care as much, if that makes sense. We're much more accepting. But to see that it's okay for us to be that way with older generations and that they do want to learn, like, a lot of them really do want to understand what we're going through. And, you know, for example, like, the pronouns and all of that. The older generation, a lot of them do want to be involved. And so I think I've learned that on this set, that it maybe it's not as different, like, between the generations is not as different as we.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything in particular you would say to anybody who's on the fence about watching One Day at a Time that you think might encourage them to check it out?
I would say it's a really quick binge. So give us 3 episodes. If you're not hooked by 3 episodes, that's fine. Thank you for trying. But especially for underrepresented groups, we get to represent a lot of them. And I think that if we do want more representation in the media, we have to support shows that are bringing that representation. So just give us a shot. You might love it.
I have one other question that I want to ask that was not on my list. So apologies for throwing this at you, but I expect you get it a lot. Because I just have to know what it's like working with Rita Moreno.
What's really amazing is we got to know her and work with her, especially Marcella and I, who are younger, before understanding how much of a legend she is. So we got to know her as a person before knowing her as the EGOT, which has been incredible. And, like, you can imagine, the woman is full of knowledge and wisdom. And to be able to comedy was never what I thought I was going to do. I always thought I was going to be a dramatic actress, and then I booked a sitcom. So I had trouble the first season. A lot of times I would read a script and be like, I know that that's a joke, but I don't know how to make that funny. And to be able to walk down a hallway and knock on Rita Moreno's dressing room and be like, hey, Rita, do you want to give me a line reading for this? Or like, what do you think this is? And just be able to work with her and have her be so non-judgmental and so willing and wanting to help, mm-hmm. It's unreal. And also, she tells crazy stories like dating Elvis Presley, and that's fun too.
God, I bet. You said that you mostly imagined being a dramatic actress. Are there any specific projects or shows or films or directors or anything on your wish list that you want to sort of put out into the universe?
I was just talking about this with one of my friends, and it's a little bit of a basic answer for an actor, but man, Leo DiCaprio and Meryl Streep would be so incredible to work with.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's the obvious answer for a reason, right? Makes perfect
exactly.
sense to me. So, last question. On our list, is there anybody that you were super excited about that you thought, man, that's a really great choice?
I was really excited about Zoe Johnson. I actually just met Yara like a month or two ago, and she, as a person, just as like a real-life teenager, is so incredible and smart and just wanting to push the world forward, and I think she's really bringing that into her shows. And I started watching Grown-ish, and just the fact that they're using their platform to have conversations that matter and start those is so cool to me. So I really love seeing her on the list.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad. Well, I'm sorry about all the complications, but this has been such a delight. I'm going to go watch another 4 episodes of the show in hopes that it helps you guys get renewed, because I think it's so important and wonderful, and I really hope that Netflix gets on that, because it's a really special show.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for talking to me.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much to Isabella Gomez for joining us on the podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Allison Shu.
You can find me on Twitter at Alcohollywood.
You can find TV Party at TV Party COS. You can also find us at facebook.com/TV Party Pod. If you have a question you'd like answered, reach out to us at TV Party@consequenceofsound.net.
You can leave us a review on iTunes or Podchaser or whatever your podcast platform may be. TV Party is a production of the Consequence Podcast Network. Check out our expanding roster of music, film, and television podcast programming at consequenceofsound.net.
This show is recorded and produced in Chicago, Illinois, and recorded and engineered by this one fellow, Clint Worthington.
This is it.
That was great. That was great, Clint. Bye.
Bye.
Consequence Podcast Network.